Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Got open lines, 248-539-9797. Deal or no deal, Lions fans? Lose to the Bears. I know. Nobody wants to lose to the Bears.
No, we don't want to.
But. Lose to the Bears, but I would guarantee you that you beat the Niners and the Vikings in this scenario. Effectively, you win the division.
Correct.
You cannot have the five seed. You are guaranteed at least two home playoff games. Assuming you're winning.
Right.
Yeah. As many playoff games as you play, you get two at home.
The risk is the NFC Championship game.
Might end up in Philadelphia if they don't lose out. Are you willing to risk it, deal or no deal?
And I'm willing to risk that because I want to have two home playoff games, even though, you know, Mike in Washington Township might not be loud enough for them. But yes, I have two home playoff games. Build a little momentum going, and yeah, I'm good with that.
I just think the one seed's so important for this football team that I don't want to concede a single game. And I know I'm risking it because they could get more injured. They could lose to the Vikings in a winner-take-all Week 18 matchup. But I think you have to play for every win right now because of how important that one seed is to me. Because, again, to win the Super Bowl, like, it makes a big difference.
Look, I get it. I went and just looked to see you know, home field advantage for the NFC Championship game. And, yes, the home team wins most of the time. Now, most of the time they are the better team, too, which has something to do with it. I think the Lions, the way they're built, they can win anywhere. So that's why it doesn't bother me, especially if they play in Philly. If the Lions would play Philly and the Lions get off to a good start and then Philly crowd starts turning on them, I don't know. By the way, we do have some broadcasting news we want to pass on.
Yeah.
John Keating has announced that he's going to retire at the end of the Red Wings season. And he's been doing the games for, gosh, was he, I don't know if he was even on one. They had Pass, but, you know, Fox Sports Detroit, Bally, and now obviously FanDuel. And he says he's reached a decision this past season. A couple years ago, I'm going to read his statement. A couple years ago, I was out for a ginger ale with my boss, Jeff Beil, and a longtime pal. And graciously told me at the time, you tell us when you want to be done. You've earned that. Trust me, in this business, that's as good as it gets. It was a wistful getting through the end of the Tigers season. And now that the Red Wings season is ongoing, it just feels like it's time to share the decision. It came down to this. There haven't been enough sunsets with the family in Grand Haven. So I shared with Jeff that I'd like to get through the Tigers and then the Wings season and then be done. Thus, that's the deal. So let's have a blast in the lap. And of course, pray to baby Jesus that I can survive Chris Osgood this season. So John Keating, just a wonderful, wonderful guy, and he's been a staple. If you watch Detroit sports for over two decades, he's the guy.
All I know is John Keating.
Right.
You know, at the desk.
Mm-hmm.
And folksy, but,
yes,
but warm in hours.
And very intelligent. A lot of the little stuff he writes there, you know, very sarcastic. And,
yeah.
You know.
Keats.
Yes, Keats. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's
Gator always did a really good impression of him, too, and I won't even try to do it.
They say all good things must come to an end.
Staple, that's well said.
Yes.
He is a staple. 248-539-9797. Let's get to Kyle in Canton. Kyle, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Yo. Hey, morning, boys.
Hey.
Hey, morning. I'm exactly opposite. I would, I don't care if they lose these next three games. Sit everybody, rest the whole squad, come back at your fullest strength when you need it the most, beat everybody in their hometown, and then go win the Super Bowl. Get to the goal. That's the goal. Beating Chicago is not the goal. Again, having the first seed is great, not the goal.
Hey, I have a question for you, Kyle. Kyle, when you said sit everybody out, because I have this friend who came, and you know me, if you've listened, I hate guys playing in garbage time and things like that. It's been a pet peeve of mine for years. However, I had a friend of mine who told me before the Buffalo game, he would sit a lot of the starters for the Buffalo game because that's the game they can afford to lose because it's the conference game. You don't want guys getting hurt. And he listed three guys who couldn't get hurt, and two of them did. And he was like, see, I told you they should. No, you can't sit guys now.
Kyle, you know it's bad if Stoney's saying that.
That's not what you want to do, right? That's not what you want to do, but that's what you have to do to get to the goal.
What do you mean you have to? You don't have to.
So Jared Goff's not playing on Sunday in your world.
I can guarantee he does not get hurt if he does not play.
This is not
That's all I'm saying. So and Kyle, I'm a player. I like to play. I'm going to play every day, all day, injured, whatever it may be. But this is for the team and for the goal of the Super Bowl. That's it. These next three games don't matter.
So you'd sit Goff. I'm just trying to make sure I understand this because people are going to be referencing this phone call all day. You're saying you'd sit them the next three games.
I'm saying if there is any jeopardy at all, if I have another offensive lineman or somebody else goes down and I need to replace somebody and I think his backside's not protected like it should be, he's benched. Thank you.
Man, you know what?
The next game.
You know what? You know who I blame for this, Jim? Me. Because he just took my philosophy, which is, I think, somewhat rational to a certain extent, and he's taken it on steroids.
To the extreme.
Do you realize you're dealing with NFL that's my friend made me so angry.
Yeah, I mean, listen, your friend in hindsight can glow, but you were never going to sit key players while you're chasing the one seed.
In the 13th week of the season? 14th week of the season?
Okay, it's also just like antithetical to the way this team is built. Like,
right.
They are very much like, we will march on. Yes. The grind doesn't stop. If a guy goes down, we'll drag him as far as we can, and we'll keep going. Like, mentally, I don't think they could get away with sitting four or five key players. And then that's beyond the obvious. They need to win these games.
Right.
Stoney, I went and looked up what you said. Four of the last five home teams won the NFC Championship. And I'll do 10 years, but I imagine it's the same thing.
It's like 7 out of 10, something like that. Yeah,
so again, we would have said that historically the home field matters. More so with this team needing... You want to rest? Earn it.
Right.
You want to give Frank Ragnow and Jared Goff a chance to kick their feet up and not play a football game? Earn it. Earn the one seed.
And the other thing is, if they are fortunate to do this, to get the one seed and, you know, maybe have it locked up before the last game, then you can have the conversation of sitting a lot of guys.
Yeah, just calls like that. I'm sensing so much uneasiness for Lions fans. First off, we haven't really gone through this before.
No.
So we don't know what to do with ourselves, right?
Right.
Everybody's trying to plot out, well, what's the best way to get to the Super Bowl? And I think everybody's feeling a little weird right now because I think everybody knows that had they had a healthy season, that this thing would be looking really good. And it's like something that was looking so good has been taken away. And so we're all kind of just besides ourselves trying to figure out. I will say this. Jared Goff won a road NFC championship game.
Yes.
Yes, he did.
Now, a lot of people don't give him a lot of credit because of the pass interference in New Orleans. But that was a very tough environment.
And he played great down the stretch, too.
And that goes against why I believe they would lose at Philly. Because I don't know if I can trust Jared Goff on the road, in the cold, in that fan environment. But Stoney made a great point. If it got off to a good start, it changes. Goff won that NFC championship game on the road. Todd Gurley had 4 carries. Remember that? So he lost his best running back. He can do it. So, look, he's proven me wrong. I still believe it because we all have our little ways and things we believe. I'll just say none of us knows what's really going to happen here. We all think the one seed odds-wise gives them the best opportunity. But, you know, why did the Detroit Tigers, with pitching chaos, beat the team that went to the ALCS 7 years in a row in their stadium 2 games?
That's why they play the game.
Right. So...
You're right in the uneasiness that we feel from fans, which is part of this deal or no deal game. Like your level of uneasiness, would you guarantee winning the division if it meant you would potentially lose the one seed?
Right.
248-539-9797. By the way, on the subject of Jack and Coke Jerry.
Yeah.
Texter says, Tom, it's Martini Mike, not Jack and Coke Jerry. And another one wants to know if Jack and Coke Jerry is related to Comerica Park's frozen margarita Mort. 248-539-9797. Deal or no deal?
Daiquiri Don.
Keep them coming. It's 97.1. Dive into the best pool in history. It's Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino, where you can catch the biggest games and a viewing experience that's designed with you in mind for the sports fan. Six pools, three different levels, and a perfect view of that massive 40-foot tall, high-definition screen. You've seen it on social media. Come out and see it in person. It's paradise for the sports fan. Stadium Swim, America's favorite place to watch all the big games. They've got the swim-up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and a nonstop party. And you might want to plan your trip now. It's getting cold. You might want to get away or start looking ahead to March with hoops. Get you guys together. Score your perfect game day spot. They've got cozy day beds, private cabanas. Grab a lounge at the center of the action, but reserve your place today. 365 days of sports poolside. Circa Resort and Casino, downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. That's Stadium Swim. All sports, all seasons. Book your spot today. CircaLasVegas.com. That first quarter pretty much doomed them.
That's unbelievable.
That's a 5-20 Jazz team that came into LCA and dropped 48 in the opening quarter.
Yeah. And I turned it off and then I...
Because you're a bad fan.
And then I was watching something else with my wife and I was checking the phone. I said, oh, they're making a little comeback here and following it along. They cut it to 6 in the... At the end of the second quarter. And then they went on like a 7-0 run and made 13. Then they fought back and made it a game. But that was a disgrace first quarter.
As Panay Sewell would say, you're not a real one.
I know. Not a real one.
We'll play that audio, by the way. And I'm not mad at Panay, but we have seen this like developing. We talked a little yesterday. Panay Sewell talking about fans who can hop off the bandwagon. We'll get to that at 7:35. We've asked this deal or no deal question.
Mm-hmm.
You lose to the Bears, but you win the next two. Effectively, I guarantee you are winning the division, but you might lose the one seed in the process. Deal or no deal? It's a way to test the uneasiness of Lions fans today.
And you put it on Twitter, and the poll is overwhelming, like 75% roughly would not take the deal.
And that's this show, by the way. 75% yes. Said no deal. Stoney is the one.
Stoney the wuss.
Yep. We've also brought up the new character that you'll see at the Lions games this season.
Yeah.
Jack and Coke Jerry, because we've had people complaining about the rich have taken over and they're not as passionate and it's not as loud anymore.
They don't drink beer like the real fans.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We've got White Claw Willie on the ticket text, Top Shelf Tom on the ticket text, and someone says it's not Daiquiri Don, it's Daiquiri Dick.
Oh,
248-539.
Yeah. There's some more there I just handed you, too.
Oh, did you?
People are really digging this.
What about some of the women? I mean, there are women who, you know, can drink and yell, too. What about, I don't know, Chardonnay Charlene? I don't know.
Sure. Fireball Frank. White Russian Willie. White Russian. My neighbor was named Labatt Pat because all he drank was Labatt Blue, Jason in Commerce.
See, what happened to Bud?
That's what I'm saying. Where is this fan base gone? Let's get to Louie in Oxford. Louie, good morning.
How you guys doing? I want to say no deal. I'm going to tell you right now, the Minnesota game is not going to mean a thing. They're going to lose both them games, Seattle and Green Bay. Don't have nothing to play for that last game. We'll play our team first half, and it'll be another rest for us. That's where I'm at with it.
I don't think that's completely out of a possibility either. I mean, the Vikings are playing really well, but they've had a lot of close games where they've gotten by
with
smoke and mirrors. And going to Seattle, I mean, Seattle needs to win this game.
Yes, because they're outright right now.
Yes.
And they're right on that line with the Rams for the division, really the only way they can, well, the most likely way they would get in the playoffs. Louie, I think you're making a great point. It's Stoney, if you think there's a chance they could have this wrapped up by week 18 before they even play the Vikings, mm-hmm. you don't forfeit the loss this week.
Because
now you can get yourself two bye weeks to really help this injured, battered football team. No deal. By the way, you guys are such homers, according to the ticket text. You all picked Seattle to beat the Vikings. I look forward to calling in Monday to discuss. At least Heather doesn't have her head up her butt. None of your rationale was based on actual statistical quantitative data, Jerry, in Belleville.
Mine was, so that's good.
That's right. Ours was based on the fact that Geno Smith was playing, but it's also that I think the Seahawks are playing for their playoff lives.
They're playing at home, short week.
Yeah.
All the little stuff on the margins matters. And by the way, we took it with 3.5.
Yes. Exactly.
A classic Stoney where they could lose and we could still win.
Right.
Okay.
Home dog. It's very...
Yeah, home dogs. This year's not been kind to home dogs. You can just check our cash to ticket record. But typically, historically, yeah, home dog getting more than field goal with some rest.
Yeah.
Against the Vikings team that, to your point, I mean, where are we at with the Vikings? They have surprised everybody. They're clearly better than everybody gave them credit for. I think they're an incredibly well-coached team. I also have a hard time looking at them and saying they're legitimately the same as Philly and Detroit, and their records are the same today. So that would tell me that they're going to get tripped up.
I think they're really good because, and I think a lot of that, what you're talking about, I think is just biased because of the fact, not that we're Lions fans, is that you see who their quarterback is, and you can't get Sam Darnold before this year out of your mind. You can't, no matter how hard you try, you sit there and say, well, it's Sam Darnold, he's going to screw up somewhere. But they can run the ball. Their receivers are elite. They have the best receiver in football. They're healthier. And Brian Flores has done a great job. Now, they do give up some big plays, but their defense has been playing really well. So they're good. They are really good.
Next time you stop at the Lions game, say hi to White Wine Whitney, Bourbon Bobby, Sparkling Sam, Old Fashioned Otis, Kenny Cocktail, and Martini Mandy.
Kenny Cocktail. That'd be Kenny Cocktail.
Oh, they've priced out the real fans. We'll talk more about real fans at 7:35. Let's get to Heather's news.
Five people have been arrested in connection to that armed robbery of an Amazon delivery driver in Detroit. We talked about this yesterday. The driver called 911 on Tuesday and reported that as she was delivering packages, a car pulled up in front of her. Three people dressed in all black jumped out. They took several packages from the truck and then they took off in a dark colored SUV. Well, Detroit police were able to locate that vehicle and a Michigan State Police helicopter was actually tracking it. So three people got out of that SUV. They carried the items into a house in East Point. Then that vehicle went and picked up three other people, fled the area. Well, when the vehicle did come to a stop, five people got out. They started running. Police were able to get them and they were all taken into custody.
Sounds like it was pretty coordinated, but not coordinated well enough.
No, not at all. This is a wild story. An unruly and intoxicated Royal Caribbean passenger was allegedly attacking crew members, and then he died after being detained. Did you hear this story?
I didn't. No.
So this guy was 35 years old, Michael Virgil. He died on board the ship after his family claims security injected him with some kind of sedative. So there's video of this. This guy was freaking out. He was allegedly threatening to kill other passengers. He assaulted two crew members in this wild outburst that took place just about an hour after the ship set sail. So this was not like mid-cruise. This was right away. He kicked a crew member in the face, punched another. He was trying to kick down a door. He was just spewing profanity, went on this like racial tirade. And he was eventually detained with zip ties and handcuffs and pepper spray. And then within an hour, he died. And his family is obviously devastated. They say this is very much not like him. He was actually on the cruise with his 7-year-old autistic son and his fiance. The cause of death is still under investigation, pending autopsy, obviously, results. But just a wild story.
They're suggesting that to calm him down after he went, they gave him a shot of something.
Well, that's what his family is saying.
Which to me seems logical, actually.
If he was going to physically hurt people and was threatening to murder many people on board. It's just, it's pretty wild and sad altogether. Let's talk about this. Not so sad. Well, I guess it depends how you look at it. Nikki Glaser is more than just a casual Taylor Swift fan, you guys.
I love
she
Nikki
spent
Glaser, by the way.
Close to $100,000 to attend 22 Eras Tours shows. She talked to People magazine, and she said that the price... She said, let me break it down. It's not just the tickets I spent money on. It was travel expenses, hotels. She said she also flew out the people she invited to go with her, plus the tickets, plus merchandise, right? So all of it together. And she says, you know what? I was able to justify that cost because I don't have kids. She says, I Googled or looked up how much it costs to raise a child and thought, huh, nobody shames people for having kids and spending money on their kids. So I can spend this money the way that I would like, that brings me joy, and I'm going to spend it on Taylor Swift.
Why would anybody spend money to like fly around the country to see a music artist? Why would somebody do that?
Why? And see them over and over and over and over.
And see them over and over again on the same tour, too.
Yeah, it sounds ridiculous, I mean, don't
they? Who the hell would do such a thing?
It's got to be a total psycho.
I know.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
Loser.
Yeah. But she also... Yeah, thank you. I admit it. But she also said it was either between that or like or something with fertilizing her eggs or something like that.
Oh, really?
Or,
I didn't get it.
Freezing her eggs.
Freezing.
Fertilizing. Well, that's...
freezing her eggs, yes, which is very expensive as well. You know what? It's her money.
Yes.
I don't care how she spends it.
No.
It's your money, Stoney.
Yes, exactly.
Do with it what you will.
I knew I had something in common with Nikki Glaser. Oh, God, she's so funny.
But to her
she
point,
is funny. I like
she
her.
She is funny. If you don't want kids, don't have kids. We don't want parents who don't want to be parents.
Correct.
Agreed.
And spend your money how you want to spend your money.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Stoney, you can have kids and tour the country.
That's right.
That's how you have a helicopter and all that other stuff.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Anyway, Heather with the news. Coming up next, real fans. Penei Sewell's talking to you. It's 97.1.
Oh, burn, baby, burn. Yeah, Disco Inferno.
Not making that mistake 2 weeks in a row.
Come on.
Just find a way to win this week.
Burn, baby, burn. Disco Inferno.
That was classic Stoney when he's clapping to the beat and just claps once.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. And usually it's off beat, too. Yeah.
There'll be no double-digit disco this Friday.
Burn, why not? Baby, just because the disco closes, makes them, you know, they still reopen the following week.
Stoney, as we said Monday, there's a reason disco died.
There's a line outside the disco, though. There are people trying to get in.
We're not doing this again.
Oh, man.
As Dan Campbell said, they can give up 700 yards, just win by one. I don't think it matters how they win this week. Just keep winning. Because we know how tight this is going to be. Philly, Minnesota, all have the same record. Mm-hmm. Just keep winning.
You know who goes into that Disco Inferno? Rum and Coke Randy.
Oh, yeah. We're getting more of those on the ticket text. Pale Ale Paul, Mimosa Miriam, High Noon Haley. What else we got on this? You guys are great.
This is amazing. I love this.
Well, you know who started? I mean, back in the day, this same thing happened to Joe Louis where he had the whole lower bowl thing.
Yes, absolutely.
And after Wings games, Wine Cooler Karen used to go to the disco.
You got Long Island Louie on the ticket text.
Yeah.
Thomas Tangaray. We're getting creative today.
That's really Wojo.
Yes.
Mr. Jin himself.
Did you realize the storm that we started yesterday with this real fan, bad fan thing? It really took off.
I know. Hey, we're trendsetters here.
I guess we are. And really, you had the observation. We've all experienced it this week, though, this like infighting within the Lions fan base, and someone took it to Penei Sewell. So we can play that audio for people. But the theme really has been this idea of real fans, the real ones. This is what Penei Sewell had to say.
Well, we're real fans because we're fans, but we still want to question at times, and so. But I don't want to stop. I don't want to step off.
Hop off.
Yeah, that too.
248-539-9797. Penei Sewell, a little defiant in the quote there, and he should be. He should have that mindset.
I have no problem with what he said, except the whole hop on hop. That's the only thing that somewhat bothers me because they don't understand. A lot of them don't understand, or have never been real, you know, into it as a kid. Some of them aren't. Some of them, you know, grew up, you know, they just liked playing and were really good. And especially, you know, we're Sewell White. I mean, I don't know.
He grew up a Lions fan.
Oh, that's right.
He did.
Because of
Calvin Johnson, and he's a big fan. So he is a fan before he was even a player on the team. I understand the attitude. I understand the defiance, the confidence, whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. He has to feel that way. I think he genuinely believes that.
And he should feel that way.
And absolutely. They're in the driver's seat. What I don't like is when fans adopt that mindset where they go at other fans.
I know.
As real fans or fake fans or hop off the bandwagon.
What, let me, in your mind.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys, Greg, Gov as well. What is a bandwagon fan in your mind?
Someone who's only a fan when the team's good.
Okay.
But I define fan differently than maybe Panay Sewell would. To me, a fan is someone who cares a lot.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't mean they always love everything the team does. It doesn't mean they blindly believe everything the team does will work out. Being a fan might mean that you are critical of your team.
Right.
You love your team. It's tough love. You don't like the Patricia era, so you're critical, right?
Yeah.
You are nervous before some football games. So what, if you're nervous, you're not a real fan?
Of course you're nervous.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
But like using the definition of blind faith and delusion is the truest realist fan. I don't agree with that.
No.
Stoney, I really think there are some people who think they play on the team. Like Panay does.
Yeah. And plays really well.
He does. Pina Colada Pete doesn't. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like if you aren't on the team, you can be critical. You're not. It's not going to seep into your play this Sunday. You're right. Not putting pads on.
I know.
You don't have to. I think there are people who believe they're on this team and therefore can't have any negative energy. So like if they admit it to themselves, it'll hurt the team. I really think there are people who are in their head that way.
Which they shouldn't be. I mean, you should root and you should be invested. And if the team loses, no matter what team it is, you can be pissed off. You can, you know, cry, do whatever you want. That's what being a fan is about. But to sit and judge fans by saying, well, you didn't think we could win, so ha ha ha, we won. That doesn't mean that I enjoyed it any less because I predicted them to lose, or you predicted them to lose, or, you know, you said they were going to win by double digits and they didn't. That doesn't make you less of a fan. I what goes through people's minds, and look, things that go through my mind can confuse people as well, but man, oh man.
So what do you think when you hear Panay Sewell say that?
I think I just don't think he understands the hop on, hop off, but I don't care. He can say whatever he wants as long as it doesn't affect him, because it doesn't, because most of them are oblivious to it, I believe.
Remember, the questioning was doom and gloomers.
Right.
Like, that's as far as you go, right? The doom and gloomers are the ones saying it's over. The doom and gloomers are the ones that are bringing back up SOL.
Yes.
I don't think he's talking about the people that are sitting there and maybe just saying, look, they're going to rally behind it, and he's not going to publicly say that, we've got a few, you know, chinks in the armor now, and this is going to be hard and stuff. But at the same time, I don't think he's calling out people who would probably, off the record, he would say, that's going to be a little bit harder.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah, it's a good
Any
point,
reasonable person knows this is harder.
Yeah, Tom, it's a good point. The question was doom and gloomers. So maybe the whole hop off is directed at like 5% of this fan base who has legitimately quit the season.
Right.
And those people are bandwagon fans.
Well, if you're quitting the season and not watching and not caring, and then you're, I wouldn't say you're a bandwagon. To me, even if you are a doom and gloomer, where you think it's done, there's no way they can win the Super Bowl. Look, I said it's 10%, so, you know, whatever. But I'm still, and I think those people, even the ones who think it's over now because of the injuries, they're still watching every game and every play, and they're still, most of them are still really invested. So I don't think they're like bandwagons, unless they decide, you know what? McNeil's hurt. This one's hurt. I'm done. I'm not even watching. Then that's pathetic.
I actually don't think there are very many of those.
There
those
probably
fans,
aren't.
You know, so then I wonder, like, who is Panay actually mad at? And I don't even know that he's mad, but like, who is that directed at? It's directed at like a fraction of this fan base.
Yeah.
Everybody else wants this team to win. That doesn't mean they will, but everybody wants this team to win. People have been waiting to chase the Super Bowl their entire life. They have some doubts. That's not the same thing as being a doom and gloomer.
Right.
You know, your thing with the bandwagon fan, I've always hated labeling of fans because it's you know, more people are coming on board when a team wins.
Yes. And
if somebody becomes a fan during all that, that's great. You know, I love the euphoria. I mean, we speculated a few weeks ago what a parade would look like for this team.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it would dwarf anything the city's ever seen sports-wise.
Which we've said for decades.
Right. You know, but it just gets, like, I look at it this way. If you're going to a bandwagon fan to me is somebody almost who has a vested interest and an emotional tie on Super Bowl Sunday. I've never rooted for any team on Super Bowl Sunday. I've had a lean, but I've never been emotionally tied to the Super Bowl. I don't know what it's like to lose a Super Bowl as a fan. And Stoney does. I'm not saying you're a bandwagon.
No.
Because you lived in Philadelphia till 1986.
Right.
All the kidding aside, I know you're a Lions
right.
fan. All right?
Yeah.
Really? But in 1980, your team lost to the Raiders.
Yeah, and I was there.
Right. So you know what it's like. I don't. And I think that's an important thing. Like, these teams that have B teams and all of these guys.
Oh, yeah.
I look, you can have the second team, but are you really emotionally hurt if they lose on Super Bowl Sunday?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there are games, I don't know, the Patriots-Giants, because I don't like the Giants. I wanted the Patriots to win, but it didn't ruin my life.
Yeah, there's plenty of teams. You root for somebody, but you're not, you go to sleep.
Yeah.
If the Lions lose the Super Bowl, I'm not quite sure I'll go to sleep.
Look, Lions lose a game, but also lose players, and it's caused a lot of introspection.
Correct.
What does it mean to be a fan? 248-539-9797. We'll hit some phone calls and some ticket texts. It's 97.1. And here's Heather.
Hey, it's me, Heather. So these days, online scammers are everywhere, whether it's those fake missed delivery texts or that urgent bank alert. Well, these scams, as you know, look more convincing than ever. But there's some good news. You can protect yourself from online scammers without being a tech expert. That's where McAfee Total Protection comes in. It's designed to help you live a worry-free life online. And worry-free means you don't need to wonder if that text message is a scam, if you should click on that link, or maybe if new threats are going to pop up on your PC, or even if you're safe from identity theft. It means you can just go ahead and live your life. You can manage your finances. You can shop online, and you can do it all without fear, because McAfee provides award-winning protection you can rely on. You can trust McAfee to help keep your devices, privacy, and identity safer. Visit McAfee.com/online protection today to get award-winning online protection for just $39.99 your first year. That's McAfee.com/online protection. Cancel anytime. Terms apply.
That's Panay Sewell, question from Corey Woods, M Live. What's your reaction to that? The doom and gloomers hop off. The real ones know. We've noticed a lot of this questioning of fandom this last week.
And we asked, what's a bandwagon fan? Here's my definition of a bandwagon fan. And it's not the actual individuals, but it's a collective local news management. Where when a team is on a run and they have to do all these stories about all these people with things on their lawns and things like that, and the anchors wearing tiger hats when they're in the playoffs and things, they don't do that stuff when the team stinks. That's a bandwagon
movement,
basically. Yeah, yes, exactly. Not the actual individual anchor, because they could be fans or whatever. They're just playing the part.
Yeah. See, I would say fans who don't care unless the team's good are bandwagon fans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what you're talking about.
Right.
Is once it becomes so popular that they're unavoidable, that everybody's a fan. But are you paying attention? Do you care when they're 500? Did you care when they were 0-16? You didn't have to like it.
Right.
But were you paying attention?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course we were.
Well, of course.
Because we are fans.
But the people who
lunatics.
Weren't tuned out, they got other things going on in their life. Sports aren't that important. They tap in when the team's good. Those are bandwagon fans.
Exactly.
Yeah. And by the way, the team is still good. They're 12-2.
I know.
248-539-9797. Let's get to Henry and Flint. Henry, you're on 97.1.
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Good.
Like I told you, screener, tough times don't last. Tough people do, and this team is tough. I mean, Campbell, he's the kind of coach that you want to put on pads and run through a wall for. I'm a former athlete myself, and I've been through the ups and the downs, the 0-16, the draft of the wrong players, through all the coaches and what have not. And yes, I'm heavily invested. When they win, I'm on a rocky high. But when they lose, it takes a little something out the day. So I've been that way for forever. And I'm a Lions fan for life, period. And I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the process. Like you said, 12-2, everything's still in front of them. It's next man up mentality, and Campbell and Holmes, I trust. So I'm just going to sit back and see what they're going to do. But go Lions.
Oh, absolutely. You could tell. I mean, Lions fans are passionate. They're fired up. They're excited. At the same time, though, Henry, like, there would be a point where if they lost more guys, even you would doubt it, right?
I still believe in my team. I believe in so Campbell. Henry, I believe in Holmes.
If they lost Jared Goff.
I still believe in them.
Okay.
Wow. I was there at the Silverdome when Barry Sanders
I'm not
retired.
Questioning. Henry, that's there. The key, but this is what we're getting to. I'm right. Not questioning whether you're a fan.
No.
I'm questioning whether you're.
Yes, I still believe.
Okay. That's where I think we cross over.
Yes,
though. You know
exactly.
What I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
He's going to believe no matter what.
Right.
A meteor could hit, and he'd be like, we're gonna pick up the pieces and find a way to win the Super Bowl anyway.
No.
Come on.
No.
Hendon
Hooker is not Nick Foles.
I know. It's happened before. It'll happen today. It'll happen with this team.
Right.
All right.
Phil Simms got hurt. Jeff Rutledge, Jeff Hostetler took them to the Super Bowl. I knew it was a Jeff.
My point, though, is I don't think that makes him a better fan.
No. He's not a better fan.
No.
He's actually more of a delusional fan if he believes that.
And maybe he has more fun watching that way, where he shows up to every game, tunes into every game, and just tunes out all of the harsh reality surrounding the team. Maybe that's a more fun experience for him.
Yeah.
But I can't shut off all the stuff going on.
No.
I can't ignore all of the things going on. If they were to get more, like, this last wave of injuries was significant. There are people playing pretend in their mind that it didn't happen.
Oh, Alain McNeil, no big deal. He's only one of the best defensive interior linemen in the league.
Yeah.
Okay? David Montgomery. We know how good he is. All right? You have a team that's secondary, the cornerbacks, the safeties are still very good. Cornerbacks are suspect, right?
Yeah.
You lose your best one. In addition to the 19 other injuries that people are on IR, it makes a difference.
Ticket texters, 248-539-9797. Daniel in Warren says, our fans are delusional. You can be a fan and be realistic at the same time. When someone says one bad thing or one negative word, all of a sudden they're a fake fan. I disagree. A good fan, another ticket texter says, is always critical. These are professionals. A good fan would boycott the team when they're garbage. Bad fans packed Ford Field to a sellout crowd when the team did nothing for 50 years. Their loyalty actually held them back for decades.
It did not hold them back. I'm sorry. Just because the people go to the games and have a good time drinking their beers, their whatever drinks they were going to drink.
Jack and Coke Jerry's.
Jack and Coke Jerry's, you know, Tanqueray Tom's and all that stuff. Had no significance. I mean, the Ford family, the owners of teams in the NFL, they get so much money from television. How many people show up doesn't make that much of a difference. I hated that take. They'd be better if you didn't show up. No.
I think it's given us a lot of credit, us as fans, a lot of credit to say that.
Yes.
Texter says fans who have been watching longer tend to be more critical.
Possibly. Because they're older and wiser.
Wiser. Yeah. They've seen things go south.
Yeah.
I mean, I would also argue there's a portion of Lions fans that are probably warped because of that beyond repair.
Absolutely. There are people who, and I know, we know, Gov and I know one of them particularly, who claims Lions free. All right? You tell me you don't pay attention or even watch those games? You're Lions free. Yeah. Oh, now you're not? That's a bandwagon. If you are actually legitimately Lions free and come back.
Yeah, you're a bandwagon fan.
What do those people do? Like 1 o'clock on Sunday, they close their blinds so nobody can see that they're actually watching the Lions.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone comes over and they have to frantically change everything. 248-539-9797. Texter says, Costa seems like he's Lions' downfall. Talking about Goff getting hurt, things that haven't happened?
No.
No, my test. The level of delusion.
Right, from that caller.
From that one caller.
Yes.
Because I think there are people who would say, grit, don't quit. They'll win no matter what. They could lose X, Y, and Z. And I probably shouldn't put a name on it because I'm not wishing injury on anybody.
Right.
But my point was to him, the most important position on the team gets hurt. And I think there are people in this fan base that are so removed from reality, they don't want to allow themselves to consider the possibility that it'd get hurt. And I think you're, if we're going to do the fan judgment, lesser of a fan. You're truly not actually experiencing everything that's going on. You have a preconceived notion that you're unwilling to change in the face of all facts in terms of any new information. You've made up your mind they're winning the Super Bowl no matter what.
Well, you're still a fan, a good fan, but you're a moronic, delusional fan.
Sure. 248-539-9797.
And those people?
Oh boy.
Very few.
Yes.
Let's be honest. There's not that many people who believe what he did.
A lot of people want to react to Panay Sewell, phone calls, ticket texts, and more. We got the picks coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Heather, pretty much wrapped this thing up already.
Yeah, I still am requesting a trophy made this year, I think.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun? I think I should do something.
See how this goes.
Well, put, you know, make her a highball Heather.
I will note that she didn't bring up a trophy until she got 13 games up with only a few weeks to go.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's something to think about.
Well, she's a bandwagon picker.
That's what I'm saying, Stoney. It's 97.1.